You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to BetQL. You here getting you ready for the Final Four. And listen, it is in some ways exactly what we expected. And in others, it is certainly not. And so I think that's kind of the intrigue of it. But let's just sort of take these one by one, RJ. I already have one bet. I'm leaning on another. But in terms of first game, it's NC State as the 11 versus number one seeded Purdue. That number is currently 9.5, total of 145 and a half, shaded towards the over, as you can see over there on BetMGM. NC State has just been a darling. They've covered every number. They beat the crap out of Duke. They have taken advantage of their circumstances. They were a buzzer beater away against Virginia in the ACC tournament to not even coming close to making the tournament. And they have parlayed that fortune all the way to the Final Four. It's amazing. I think it's probably the most unlikely Final Four run we've ever seen. And the reason I say that is because, like, yes, there are teams that come from lower level leagues that have crashed the party before, but they were good in their leagues, right? Like, they were 30-win type teams. They were experienced. You know the formula. This NC State team was just mediocre. They were sub-500 in their league. They just never looked the part. And they're here. So,
yep.
I don't know, RJ. Is it something that you just keep riding the magic carpet of Kevin Keats? Or is this where the razzle-dazzle finally falls off and fades away?
Well, they're facing a really good team and a really unstoppable force. And, you know, I know that the NFL wants a piece of DJ Burns, but I don't know if they're going to get it. I've decided to stay away from this game altogether for that very reason. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Yeah, this is a pretty improbable run. You know, if I remember right, Kentucky – I think it was here in Dallas when they went to the championship. I think it was the year UConn won with Shabazz. Kentucky was like an 8 seed. They knocked off Wichita State. It was undefeated, and they made their way. It was a very improbable Kentucky run, but still Kentucky. You know, they're still a good team. They're always a good team.
Right.
This is different, man. I'm with you. In the grand scheme of things, VCU was a very good team when they made their run. Butler was a very good team when they made both of their runs. We George Mason, they had a good year.
Yeah.
They had a good year. NC State had a bad year. And so what is the difference? This is the equivalent of, like, I don't know, LSU making a run in the men's game this year or Ole Miss, right? Or that's what this is. That's what this is this season. This is not West Virginia. Same kind of thing. That's what this would have been like. And here they are. Kudos to them, man. Kudos to that fan base has stuck by them for years. I remember watching NC State games as a kid when that court was made of rubber. It wasn't wood. They had a rubber court. It was the weirdest damn thing. And I'm sure the players' knees loved it. But I'm old enough to remember those days at the old shoebox they played in. But it's good for them. This has been a fun run.
And look, yeah, that's the only bet I've made so far this week is Purdue. I bet it when it was 8.5 pretty much immediately. because you tend to see this, I feel like, anecdotally. I don't know if I don't really have any like stats to back this up, but it just feels like this way to me. Like the team that overachieves and makes a magical run gets to the first game of that Final Four. And like, we cannot forget that this NC State team had to win the ACC tournament. What is that, five games in five days?
Did you know they had more? They had more wins in the ACC tournament that week than the Wizards have had at home all year. In the same building.
Damn. The
same building.
That is brutal. That is brutal if you're a Wizards fan. Oh my God. Oh, that's devastating. But yeah, like I can't put that out of my head. Like, hey, they beat Duke. Maybe they just have something going with the ACC right now, and it's just they're the hot hand in the ACC. But I think this is where DJ Burns, who kept them alive for the entirety of this run, I think this is where he kind of hits the post a little bit, because it's 7'4". It's a 7-foot-tall post, and it's also he weighs more than DJ Burns, right? So if you want to say that, oh well, no, I mean Zach Edey's it's distributed differently, but he's 300 pounds. And so I don't think – even if DJ Burns is able to create a little bit of space, you know, sort of inside, right, Zach Edey's length is going to be a big problem, I think, for DJ Burns in a way that – like Filipowski was getting sent into the stands, right? I mean, he had nothing – for DJ Burns. I thought that was an absolutely devastating day for Kyle Filipowski's stock. But Edey is going to be a very different story.
Yeah, it's back-to-back years of the tournament for Filipowski like that he got bullied. It's back-to-back years he got bullied by a big guy. You know, the thing is, there's a way to beat Purdue. And it ain't the way NC State plays. Like, that's the thing. Exactly. You know, it's just not the way they play. You're not going to beat them. That could be a trouble for UConn, although I do think they have the ability down. They have enough guys around the perimeter to be able to keep them honest. So I think that gives UConn an advantage there. But I mean, you saw how did Tennessee stay in the game? They stayed in the game because they were really good from beyond the arc. Had nothing to do with the guys underneath. It had nothing to do with Adu or Awaka. It was everybody else. Right. I mean, it was connect really, but. That's what you got to do. You've got to have guys. And the way NC State plays, that ain't the formula to beat Purdue.
Right. So I think that's the key for me in this one. In the end, I think this is where you see the NC State team become who they were, who they always have been. And I will say this. Purdue has very quietly been just as dominant as UConn. I mean, I've been riding them for pretty much the entirety of the tournament. I bet them I bet them against Tennessee. I bet them against Gonzaga. I bet them in this one. And I'm going to be honest with you. I've seen the look-aheads on Purdue-UConn. Purdue plus 6. I'm going to bet them again. I know that's kind of crazy, and it's breaking my rule of not fading UConn, but I feel like that's too many against a Purdue team that, I am breaking the code. For 6 points, 2 possessions, Purdue is playing amazing basketball. And now I think we talked about this all year about Purdue being different or at bats or how to properly assess a job. Well, RJ, damn, how different is everything now that they've gotten to a Final Four? We feel differently about the whole thing, don't we? I mean, Matt Painter's not the butt of anybody's jokes anymore.
No, he's not. We do feel differently about him. UConn's a different animal, but so is Zach Edey. Like, he's just a different dude. And then to have to face them without seeing them. You know, Tennessee had an advantage. They saw him already. They already knew, and it still didn't work. To go up there and not see them before and still have to go up and figure that out, it's tough ass.
It's pretty similar. It's really tough. It played out pretty damn close to the Maui game, you know, just in terms of the cadence of it, right? The fouls and everything. I mean, it was pretty similar. You know, those teams are pretty evenly matched.
Yeah, they were. And UConn and Purdue are. They are. And that game did play out a lot like Maui. I think it was 4 points versus six. I mean, whatever. It's the same thing. It's a shot here or there. It's a foul. It's a free throw here or there. It did turn out pretty similar. And that's what teams are going to have to figure out when they go up against Purdue. Because, you know, the difference with Purdue this year and last year is they got guys on the outside that can hit shots. I'll tell you this. If you're a UConn fan, they're annoying. They're annoying. And I'll tell you, Sister Jean, you are no longer public enemy number one for me. I hope you live wonderful life the rest of the way. I hope you live a wonderful life. I'm sorry for all the mean things I said about you. I do think you're not taking that vow of poverty very seriously sometimes, but that's neither here nor there. But I'll tell you this, Purdue and their fan base and those guards, man, there is a new villain in the Choppy household, that's for damn sure.
How about that? Well, you mentioned it, UConn. UConn is this is just almost unbelievable. An 11.5-point favorite in the Final Four. They were an 8.5-point favorite at close against Illinois. Absolutely destroyed them, went on that 30-0 run. It is as dominant a championship run in any sport that I have ever seen. Just in terms of just obliterating the margin, obliterating the spread. They have been just week after week killing everybody. And now they have the tribal thing. And on one hand, it's like, well, that's a minor inconvenience and Hurley superstitious and weird. But he's also going to probably use this as a us against the world thing. Do you factor that in at all when you're thinking about this handicap against Alabama, the fact that they're getting there a little later than they expected?
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Oh, baby, you bet your butt I am. I will tell you that. You could make this line 25, and I would take UConn. That is, I mean, the NCAA, if there is a conspiracy out there to try to tire them out, all you did was fuel them. Dan Hurley is going to use something completely unrelated to Alabama as motivation to destroy Alabama. This is going to be an epic destruction, I think. And I always root for the SEC. I'll root for Alabama in this game. I don't like UConn anyway. There is nothing that would prevent me from betting UConn. They could play their backups, and I would take the 11.5. Dan Hurley is going to put on a motivational clinic on Saturday. Without question.
Yeah, I'd love to be able to disagree. I think the only way is if it's an ungodly amount of threes. And that's the way, that's what they do, right? That is what they do. But they're going to have to shoot an out-of-body clip. And I will say that is different than what Illinois tried to do. Illinois just tried to take it right to him and punch him in the mouth, and you can't. That's what UConn does, and they do it way better than you. So I do think stylistically, you know, there's a chance that it could be a little bit more challenging because UConn's not a great shooting team. We saw that when Klingon was off the floor, they really kind of struggled against Illinois. But I just am no way in shape or form running to the window to bet this. Why would I do that? I mean, dude, Alabama's way overachieved to get to this point. I think you'd have to give me 19.5, 20.5.
Oh, to bet Bama?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dude, look at that money line. Look at that. Minus 750 in a Final Four?
In the Final Four. No, I know. It's nuts. Nuts.
That's a 314.
Plus 525 does not feel like it's good enough, right? Like it's like, no. I need more. I need like 7-1, 8-1. I need something crazy. 525 is not enough for me.
Dude, Bamba was like top 15 for like half the year. Like that. This is a Final Four. This isn't a 3-14 game. This is a Final Four. Come on, man.
I know.
-750.
It's just as dominant as you will ever see. Seriously, two years replacing NBA players, placing lottery picks, and they're still right back where they were. They covered every game last year in the tournament. They've covered every game this year in the tournament. 10 straight tournament covers for UConn. I was on pretty much the wrong side of all of them last year. I'm glad I stuck to my principles about this one. I'm not trying to scalp them. I'm taking my ego out. I'm not going to be stubborn. I'm not saying I'm betting on them, but I'm not betting against them. So lesson learned there. Without a doubt. But, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, the only way I can look in this one, I think I like the over. I don't think Alabama is going to be able to stop UConn whatsoever. I just don't think they're going to string together 3, 4, 5 stops at a time. Don't think they're capable. And Alabama is going to chuck threes, which even if they miss will lead to transition opportunities for UConn and long rebounds. Yeah. So I like the over in that one. I think that's going to be okay. That's the way I would look in this one. Spread, you know, again, UConn or nothing, but I think the over definitely looks good, even at a total like 160.5. All right, been a lot of coaching movement, so we'll touch on that, coaching changes in college basketball, and more on the other side. You're watching BetQLU on the BetQL Network, Odyssey Sports. We'll be back after this.